years, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Willie. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason. Apologies for the late start today.
You're darn right.
We're venting.
Better apologize.
We're venting a little bit.
You got
bit,
a lot
Jason.
Going on. No, we're all good, guys. All good.
Jason, I got some solid intel out of Chicago yesterday. Solid. Okay?
He didn't even share this with us, bottle? Jason. This is from, the first time hearing this.
From my guy, Frankie Bag of Donuts, who lives downtown Chicago. Yeah. He's got his finger on the pulse. He told me the Bears are going to try to run the ball. What are the Packers going to do about it?
You know, I it's a great question. I can't believe you got such insightful information.
Yeah, I can't believe he volunteered it.
That's why he's a Packers Hall of Famer, folks.
That and you're hot off the three technique.
Jason, did you know, a little sidebar here, that he got fired in Indianapolis because of his mouth?
What?
Yeah. Great story. We don't have time
Probably
for
more.
It. Maybe at the back end.
Oh, that's too bad.
He was okay. Like an intern or whatever under Caldwell. Mike Caldwell?
Jim
Caldwell.
Mike Caldwell was the Brewers.
And Pete Metzelaars.
Great lefty on the 82 Brewers. Yeah, Mike. Yeah.
Pete Metzelaars. Remember Pete Metzelaars, the tight end, was the O-line coach.
Tight end.
Yeah.
Yep.
Was the O-line coach. And Frank, in an offensive team meeting, was fighting with Metzelaars, and Caldwell said, Frankie, tell me why this. He's like, you can't. One thing, Frank was unbelievably smart. He's like, you can't do this. You can't block it. It's impossible. You can't do it. And then Metzelaars came up. He said, don't you ever embarrass me in a meeting like that again. And Frank said, well, you're a moron. I don't know how you're still a coach here. Frank's locker was cleaned out the next day. So that was the stint of his coaching in the NFL.
That moron word has gotten us all in a lot of trouble.
It has.
Over the years.
It has.
So, Frankie's right about that, and probably right about the Pete Metzelaars thing as well. But I don't know how they're going to stop it. Like, it would help if they have Quay Walker back. He was a limited participant in practice yesterday.
Who wasn't?
We'll see if he I'm sorry?
I said, who wasn't? That list is long, Jason.
That's
guys
true.
Who were limited participants yesterday.
It is indeed. I love how Matt puts just about everybody on the injury list now, just because, you know, he's paranoid about getting in trouble like the Baltimore Ravens did with Lamar Jackson, et cetera. But eventually, most of them come off of it by Friday, since they did away with probable, which I continue to hate. But look, it's a tall task, right? One of the things the Bears did during the offseason, it's not just that they hired Ben Johnson. It's not that there's been some semblance of improvement from their quarterback, even though he's completing less than 59% of his passes. It's that they solidified the interior of their offensive line, and they run the ball behind that group and do it really well. And so that is that. Look, I think this game boils down to basically two things. Can they stop or at least limit the production of the Bears run game, because it's a lot like the Vikings game in that, not as bad, but similar, that the offensive play caller / head coach wants to run the ball extremely effectively so his still developing second year quarterback isn't put in a position where he's got to sling it all around the ball field. If they can do that, that helps their cause immensely. And then the other part of it is, Jordan Love's thrown three interceptions all year. These guys thrive on interceptions. They lead the league with 17. If they're able to get a couple off of Jordan Love and have short fields, then that puts the Packers in peril too. If they can, if the Packers cannot throw picks and stop that interior run, I think they're going to be just fine.
Jason, so you mentioned that turnover thing with the Bears, and we've seen Matt LaFleur get a little conservative at times this year. Do you think that is a possibility where he goes, oh, we can't turn the ball over, we have to run the football now and try to match the Bears' ground game? Or does he trust Jordan Love the way he trusted him in Detroit?
I hope he does that, because that'll irritate you, and that'll be fun then on Tuesday when I talk to you guys after the game. I think the trust has grown. I really do. I think, you know, he knew that they could not play the Lions with him being ultra conservative, obviously, and the fact that Love threw a pair of fourth down touchdowns and, you know, made the throw is a great catch. The throw was good, but the catch was great on fourth down, even if there were people that disagreed with the strategy there. I would think that there's a little more trust there, and that's a good thing. But I saw a stat that they're still throwing the ball on 55% of their first downs for the season. Seems like a really surprisingly high number. And so I don't know. Like if I'm Matt LaFleur, and I feel really good about my defense against a still developing quarterback, and they get out early in the game and do effectively shut down the run, or at least slow down the run by the Bears, I think there's probably some merit to being a little more conservative and playing, you know, kind of the game that is required to beat the Bears, which is different than the game that's required to beat the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, and to that point, Jason, the Bears are 28th in the league against the run, 30th. In yards per attempt against the run.
There you go.
They allow over 5 yards per carry.
And they're like Colin Urlacher from his hair replacement commercials and Lance Briggs, and asking them at, you know, age 45 or whatever those guys are, if they can still play linebacker, right? I mean,
yeah.
They've been as banged up at linebacker. That's like one of those classic examples of some years you just get devastated at one position, and that's what they've had happen to them.
Yeah, they're also 29th against in yards per attempt for passing. Like, this is the craziest thing, one of the craziest things I should say I've ever seen, Jason. A defense that forces this many turnovers, yet is this bad. Like, I don't know if I've seen this, because usually if you're forcing those turnovers, you're preventing, you know, the other team from scoring a bunch of points. You're going to be a top 10 defense. They're 25th in points, 27th in yards, despite being number one in takeaways.
Yeah, they're the bizarro Packers, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the Packers despite the ball king and the lights and siren in the meeting room, they've gotten a few, obviously, lately. It hasn't been an avalanche by any means, but there was a point not that long ago, I don't know where they rank now, but there was a point where the only team that had fewer takeaways than the Packers was the New York Jets, and you don't ever want to be in the same sentence as the New York Jets.
No.
So it's fascinating to me, and that's why I said what I did about the interceptions. Like, I was looking at those same stats, and I'm like, how are these guys 9-3? And I don't think their point differential. Is it positive yet?
It is positive. It was -3 going into their game against the Eagles, so now they find themselves +6 after their 9-point win.
And I'm not saying they're the same as the Vikings last year or the Vikings a couple years ago, but there was one year under KOC where they were like, they played like 11 one-score games and they were 10-1. And the Bears, obviously, I think are 6-1 in those type of games. And that's the thing, like, you know, if you're, and I don't know if they've had a game that played out this way, but just hypothetically, you know, the Bears have a 3-point lead, but their opponent has the ball and is driving for what could be the game tying or go ahead score in the fourth quarter. And that dude throws a pick. That's how you win the game, right? And maybe you don't even deserve to. So that's why I think for Love, it'll be a balancing act of, all right, keep doing what you're doing. Still be aggressive when you have opportunities to, but don't put the ball in harm's way against these guys, because you don't need to if you're able to be consistent and you're able to be productive on a down-in, down-out basis.
It was Kevin O'Connell's first year. They went 11-0 in one-score games, finished 13-4, and promptly lost to Danny Dimes and the New York Giants in the playoffs.
Yeah, and then I feel like they were pretty good in one-score games again last year, too, but that's it, 11-0. I knew it was 11 games. I couldn't remember if they won them all or lost one.
Jason, I need you to be a little judge and jury here. Ooh. Me and Gabe.
Can I be executioner, too?
Yeah,
or?
If you want. Yeah.
Me and Gabe got some serious pushback this week in regards to Romeo Doubs. I think we settled on the words, we're somewhere between nice and good. And got a lot of pushback from texters. Some of them even went as far as to compare him to Donald Driver, which we thought was completely insane. What word would you use to describe Romeo Doubs?
Solid.
I like that.
They won't like that either.
Solid?
I think solid.
That's, I like that, that's not better than good.
No.
No, all those are in the same.
So we're not insane.
Well, family.
When it comes to this, we're not insane.
I was going to say. Yeah,
you're insane
let's
for
sure
saying,
we'll be very clear
I'm not
going
to tell this story maybe yes. later, and then you just tell it right away anyway.
Because the way I look at it, Jason,
yeah,
I mean,
we love him.
The best game for Watson, for Reed, for Wicks, I'm talking their best potential game, they're all ahead of Doubs. Fair?
Sure. I mean, let's understand what Romeo Doubs does best, right? He's a really good red zone target.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really good third down target. He is not a big play guy. I mean, look, Donald Driver, there are people that want to put him in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, right? Packers fans that love Double D.
Mm-hmm.
I don't personally believe he deserves that. But to make that comp, and again, I'm not here to judge other people. I would just tell you that you are selling Donald Driver way, way, way short.
I just told him, Jason, to go just Google Donald Driver 49ers. Do you remember that play against the Niners where he broke
seven
tackles?
Like everybody into the end zone. Yeah,
like, amazing. So watch that play and tell me if you think Romeo Doubs can do that. And then you can compare him to Donald Driver if you think.
Yeah. Like, let's just appreciate what a good possession receiver and red zone guy Romeo Doubs is.
Jason,
what's wrong with him being what he is?
Yeah, I totally agree.
And I agree with that, and we get painted as the guys who hate Romeo Doubs. He has a role. Like,
yes.
He had four catches for 20 yards against the Lions, Jason, with a touchdown. Like, I felt the usage was perfect. They needed those short third down gains. They were inside the 5-yard line, got the ball to Romeo because you know you can trust him in those tight spaces. You nailed it from day one when you compared him to James Jones. Like, James Jones had a great NFL career. He had a good NFL career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Led the league in touchdowns one year. But he was ever going to be, I mean, the only time he was somebody's number one was when he had to be forced to when he came back to Green Bay after the Jordy Nelson injury. But
yeah,
he had a really solid career. And to me, that's what Romeo can be. He can be really solid. But I think there's so much more talent in guys who have so much more upside on the roster.
Well, great. Thanks for dragging me down, and now I'm going to be getting these angry letters, too. Thanks a lot.
Basically,
glad I could be part of the... What a team to be on, you two knuckleheads.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to seeing what way we can drag you down tomorrow, Jason, when you join us once again here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
One of my favorite things to do three times a week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Bye,
Jason Wilde. We'll talk to him again tomorrow ahead of Packers-Bears coming up at 3:25. On Sunday. And our conversations with Jason Wilde brought to you by Lakeland Supply. They're in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.